using one of his Bibles this morning, and on the cover, he said, "I preach as never to preach again, as a dying man to dying men." And he's done. Dad's done. He's done preaching. Wore him out. But he loved it. And now he's resting and praising. That's what he does. Rest and praise. He's beginning to understand what he preached for so many years. He's beginning to enjoy the Lamb. And I'm glad for him. Glad for him. And you know what? We're going to be there in a flash. In a flash. Life gets gone. And I told him the other day, I said, you go. And we're right behind you. I always never liked to say goodbye. So I would say, see you later. And I said, that's what I told him. See you later. We're right behind you. Couple of facts. Maybe it'll help us. First fact is Psalm 116. Verse 15. This is a fact. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's a fact. Precious. That means of great value. Great value. We value things and we call them. They're precious to us. We value our kids, value our wives, value our grandkids. We say they're of great value. Wouldn't take anything for them. That's what we say. So I wouldn't take anything for them. And we mean that. As humans, we mean that, don't we? Can you imagine what God means when he says how precious they are to him? Just imagine that. They are precious then, aren't they? The overall thought of this context, if you read the whole chapter, you see pictures of Christ throughout it. I would encourage you to read it slowly when you get home today and take these thoughts with you. But you see Christ throughout it, and this is going to tie to what I'm going to say as we go. The death of a believer then is just a part of Christ. That believer is just a part of Christ. It's another piece of that body added on to the head as they go. That's precious. And that death of a believer, that event, let's call it an event. That event. Some folks call it a sleep. But that event is of such great importance. It's so connected with the glory of God. And I'm talking about the event that happened Friday at 5:44, that event was so closely tied to the glory of God and the accomplishment of his purpose. You know, I've said before, you throw a rock in a lake and the ripple effect. That's what I mean, the accomplishment of his purpose. God, our Father, will not cause that event to happen or take place except in the circumstances, the very circumstances, the vehicle he chose, the exact time, and the manner best suited for not only his saint, but his glory and his purpose. All of those things come together. Every one of them, for every one of us. Every one of us. See, when Dad was 69, I started helping him do this. Dad had a heart surgery at 69 years old. And we thought, he may not come out of that heart surgery. Then the cancer came. And we said, that'll get him. Because it was a stage 4 prostate cancer. And we thought, and if you know anything about medicine, when I looked at that Gleason score, I thought, wow. Divide that prostate up into 12 sections, and every one of them was stage 4. It's probably everywhere. When they went to get the bone scan, I thought it'll be everywhere. That's not what took him. And Brittany and I were talking, that TPA, I've seen that work. It's a miracle drug. 99 times out of 100, it works. I've seen it work. Didn't work for him. At 5:44, that stroke was going to get him. He was going to be one of the 6%. Less than 6%. 6% bleed. Some of those, a lot of those, good portion of those, the doctors said, they told us that he would be a vegetable. That it's the biggest bleed he had ever seen. And I told Dr. Stringfellow, I said, God sent that bleed. God sent that bleed. Biggest bleed he had ever seen. That he would just be a vegetable. We'd visit in the nursing home. Where we be. Dad don't want that. Dad don't want that. I'm not going to keep him from glory for my selfish gain or your. No. I'm going to do that. So, even the things we thought would get him didn't. The thing we thought would save him didn't. It didn't. And only if you've worked in that field do you know that. Most of the time, we did everything right. We were within the 3-hour window. I made him walk to the car just to see. It was a general weakness. It wasn't one sided. I thought if it doesn't turn loose and we can get him there, you're making those decisions. Do I call a rescue? Well, in Weddowie, Alabama, you don't want to call a rescue over there, probably. Got him there. Under an hour, Dr. Stringfellow did everything right. Who don't see the hand of God in that? Did everything right. It's time to go. It's time to go. The manner, but it was a precious death because he planned every bit of that. Every bit of that. He overruled everything because he was through. He had preached his last message. He was through. Time to go home. As soon as you're through, because he wants you home. You'll accomplish his purpose, his glory here. When he's through, you're home. So until that time, as we saw in Dad, we're invincible. We're untouchable. And though often near death, believers, we're preserved until God's part in us is accomplished. And at that moment, like he said to his only begotten son, he'll say to us, Terry Worthen, it's finished. It's finished. Come home. And the spirit leaves the body. And it's just a shell there, isn't it? It's just a shell. But the testimony goes on. There was a nurse there. I didn't catch this until the next day. As I lay there that night, couldn't sleep. So I lay there and But the nurse had said, we were all gathered around and weeping and thanking the Lord that he was fixing to go home. And the nurse told us, the nurse said, I guess Dr. Stringfellow had told her that Dad passed. But anyway, the nurse made a comment that it's such a good time when we see this kind of closure. It's such a peaceful time that we don't see this all the time. That the hope that the family had and the peace and the happiness veiled behind the tears. But one of the nurses said, you know, his last sermon was on heaven and hell. And I didn't understand. I had the mask on. I thought she was talking about her preacher or something. I didn't know. And then I put it together that the sermon, or one of his last few sermons, she said, was on the rich man and Lazarus. So she, during that day, somebody had told her about sermon audio. It wasn't any of the family. But she looked it up. See, he preached on. And he'll preach on. See what I mean? He'll preach on. But he was through with the Spirit. He's done. So what's the first value? So I said, the death of a believer is precious. It has value. It's a value. What's the value? Well, the first value is it removes one more. Friday, one more believer. We've had a lot the last year, it seems. The last 2 years. It's more and more, and it will be more and more. But Friday, one more believer, one more redeemed, entered glory. One more was added to that song, that happy host above. Where the song goes, one more to that happy host up there. Second value, new. It's a new trial, another triumph maybe, another triumph, or a new triumph of the final point, the final step of that work of redemption. It's fulfilled completely in Dad now. That's valuable. That makes the death precious. Proving once again the value and the power of our Lord's work. What did our Lord say? Of those the Father gave me, I will lose none. I will not. Dad's home. Never lost him. The third value is direct proof of what we've testified, what he has testified. The best proof of predestination, the plan, the best proof of the plan of a sovereign God is the final reception of his beloved. Nothing happened to him until it was time and he was received at the moment he was to be received. Proves predestination. Fourth value is the prayer. It comforts us that the prayer of our Lord is always answered. Our Lord prayed that those that you've given me will be with me. And this precious death proved that. The Lord outprayed us Friday. He outprayed us. And Dad went home. And he solidified our hope in him in what we've seen. And others have seen it in their departed believing loved ones. That he's with us. He's with us now. He's with us in everything until the end. He was with Dad since 83 years in everything until the end. He didn't even have to go home by himself. Angels came and received him and took him in. How does he see them? He says that the scripture says, precious in the sight. In the sight. So he views them. Don't precious in the sight of the Lord. How does he see them? Well, he sees them one way. How many times have we heard this? How many times have our pastor said this? How does the Lord see us all? In Christ. He sees us in Christ. He sees them in his beloved Son. He sees the departed believer, the life of his Son. His Son's work, His Son's blood, His Son's righteousness. The departed believer is seen as called apart in His Son's precious name. His Son's name. You know, all men will die unless the Lord comes back. We'll assume that all men will die. But only those that are seen, get this, only those that are seen by the Lord are special. Others are just awaiting death. He's our death because we're seen as Christ is special. He sees it as special. And in it, that death, we're freed. Believers are freed. Not freed from the process of it. Dad had to go through it Friday. We're not freed from the process of it, but unlike other men, unlike lost men, we're freed from the curse of it, from the sting of it. And in that death, grace is exercised. Not only by my dad. Dad was still in his right, somewhat of his right mind when we got him there. And then when they TPA'd him, there was a little bit of a turnaround, and I had a little bit of a hope because he recognized me when he came out to do the second CAT scan. And then I heard the nurse say, "Oh, your grip's back. But he exercised grace and all. There's never any wailing for life, was there? No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. There was some fear, maybe. My goodness, you don't know what's going to happen. But grace was given. Grace was given to him. Grace was given to us. We exercise that. He does that for his people at death. Why? Because it's precious to him and he's looking at it. He's watching it. He sees it. He sees that hope, that faith, that love. He sees all that. He sees that according to His will, that the departing believer and those around him are resigned to the fact that it's time. It's time. So in Christ, like I said a while ago, context, the subject of this is Christ, Psalm 116. So in Christ, as Christ, the believer says, "Even so, Father, so it seems good in your sight." That's the way Dad was. "Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight." He would have hung on as long as he could have to help us. To help us. That was another thing I told him. I said, "Dad, go. We'll be fine." The believer, since in his Son, since we're in Christ, are viewed as his Son. We're born into Christ by his shed blood. And we're adopted. There's a dual role we play there. We're born. So I said, "How in the world can you be born and adopted?" Well, we're born, so his blood's ours. We're adopted by covenant law. We can't lose. Dad can't lose. Can't lose. So, like his Son, whom he raised, he glorified. He set his Son at his right hand, gave his Son dominion over all things. So we are as precious to the Father as Christ is to the Father. We're just another part of that body. Look at Song of Solomon 6:2. "My beloved is going down into his garden to the beds of spices, to feed in the garden, and to gather lilies. To gather lilies. Dad was gathered. He was a gathered lily on Friday. He was gathered before the foundation of the world by election. It's the first time he was gathered. He was gathered by effectual call. He was gathered into this garden. What's that garden? The church. He was gathered into the church. He was part of a huge church. He was gathered into that garden. He was gathered in close communion to Christ. Who's in the garden? He went into the garden. He's Christ. He went into his garden. My beloved, he's going into as Christ. He's going into his church. His church. And he plucked a lily Friday. Plucked a lily. It was fully ripe and the best lily of that day. He said, this is the one I chose to pick. And so he so loves this lily that he even preserves that dust. That body will lay up there in Douglasville. But if it didn't, if it were falling into the ocean, and sharks ate it, and they, in their ways, scattered it all over the sea. He loves even that dust, even that shell so much that he's going to gather every fragment of it back up one day and reunite it perfectly. Dad won't limp anymore. He'll be 33 from now on. And he'll gather it perfectly with that perfect spirit. The lily. See what I'm saying? The lily. Here's the second fact. Psalm 34:8. Or 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as are of contrite spirit. Verse 17 gives you the bit of a context to this text we just read. It says the righteous cry. The righteous. We had a lot of believers crying the last couple of days. All over this world. We got phone calls. All over this world. Believers are crying. Because they love my dad. I'm not ashamed of crying. Loved him. Miss him. He was my buddy, my running buddy. I cried. I cried out. You know, many things bring cries. Friday, it was grief and sadness the last few days, and it will continue. Take a long time, won't it? Steve said you won't ever get over it completely. Kim has said that. Katie said that. Never get over it completely. Cry. Cry out. But like I said, our comfort is, as we cry, Jesus wept. Remember that Jesus wept. Look at Psalm 147:3. Just hold your finger there. We'll be back there in a second. 147:3. It says, he healeth. Cry. Why? How can Christ heal the broken spirit? Because he wept. Notice this Jesus. It's not Jesus Christ the Lord. It's Jesus wept. Jesus for a reason. That's his humanity. Where he can feel what we feel. Jesus wept. And because he wept, we have the fact in 147 verse 3. He healeth the broken heart. And binds up their wounds. We'll be okay. Time. You know, I'm glad we have affections. I don't want to be an affectionless, stoic, cold person. I'm thankful he gives us affections. And I'm thankful He can control our affections by grace. I can't. He can. He heals. He sends them. He breaks the heart, and then He heals the heart. Then He hears. Like I say, He hears us. He's like a night guard, like a night sentry. As soon as, if He's a good guard, as soon as He hears, He responds. He don't wait. As soon as He hears, He responds quickly. Quickly. And then it says He delivers. You know, we might hear somebody crying. Heard these kids cry. My mom cry. These grandkids cry. And sometimes I just didn't have the right word. Didn't have the right word. I can't deliver you. Wish I could. Wish I had those magic words. Don't have them. He does. He can deliver. There's no weight. There's no depth of grief that He can't deliver us from. He delivered His Son from the deepest of all griefs. He'll deliver us. Nothing so weighty that we can't be picked up. And you know, we say the Father, we say the Son, we say the Spirit, but they all go together. They all go together. We separate them at times, but always remember as we talk about the Father, it's the Christ who's there, and He delivers us because He's been there. So we're near in friendship. It's verse 18, we're near. We're near in friendship. He's near us. He's near us in compassion, in empathy, in care, in love, all of those things. And there are times we think He's so far away, He's right there. He's right there. And He'll always be right there. We go through these times of sadness, and it's just going to take us a minute to realize it. And that's okay. That don't mean you're 20 steps backwards in grace. It means it's just going to take you a minute to realize He's there. But He's there. It's one thing to be near there again. I've been, this family, this church group has been near one another for the last 3 days. But He delivers. He can deliver. I didn't have the words. I don't have the power to deliver these people that are hurting. Nobody can deliver me from the hurt except He's the one that's been there. See? So, to Dad, I say farewell. See you soon. See you soon, my friend.